All right, James 1, verse 21 through 25. Wherefore, laying apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Father, how we desperately need you tonight. Lord, it's been a sweet service already. We pray now that the Word of God would be exalted and people would be helped tonight. How we need you. We love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I've entitled the message tonight, Mirror, Mirror in My Lap, or on my shelf or iPad or phone or coffee table or whatever. What you're holding in your hands or on your phone or whatever is a mirror the Bible talks about in this passage of Scripture. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that opportunity to be changed by viewing God's Word. You've probably heard the saying, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest one of all? That's actually not correct. Did you know that? It actually says magic mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all. How many of you knew that? Anybody? Oh, a couple of you. Hey, that's pretty good. The point is, did she want to know the truth? Not really. She wanted what she wanted to hear. She wanted to hear that she was the fairest, whether it was truthful or not. Sometimes we approach the Word of God, and we don't really want to hear the truth of the Word of God. We don't really want God to change us. And several young people mentioned just checking off. We just go through the motions, if you will, of doing these things without really being changed. One author said, as important as the proper reception of the Word of God is, without obedience to its truths, it's not only without benefit, but becomes a further judgment against the readers. You understand that you are accountable for everything you hear. God's going to hold you accountable for the truth that you've heard and how you've responded to the truth of God's Word. When the mirror of God's Word speaks to us, do we really want the right answer? How do we really respond to the preaching of the Word of God? And tonight I'd like for us to see this simple truth. You must receive and obey the Word every time it enters your life. Now, if you were Emmanuel Baptist Church tonight, I would have done something unusual. Matter of fact, when I preached this message, I didn't shave at all day long. And a matter of fact, I hadn't shaved since Friday. And my people are getting used to that. They're like, Pastor, are you okay? Matter of fact, one of my ladies came to me and said, Pastor, did you forget to shave this morning? And I went, I don't know what you're talking about. She, on the way home, she told her husband, I'm really concerned about Pastor. He not only didn't shave, but he didn't know that he didn't shave, you know? My point with those kind of illustrations sometimes with our people is to demonstrate what happens to us when we look in the mirror of the Word of God and we're not changed. We just walk away from it like, oh, okay. I want us to look as we open this text tonight, and we'll try to move as quickly as we can. Number one, we're going to see the condition. He says here, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness. In other words, on account of what I've already said to you, on account of the fact that temptation is real, we talked about this morning, on the fact that every good gift comes from God and God wants to transform your life, on account of the fact that you are to be much quicker to hear and a lot slower to speak and to wrath, because of all that, here's what I want you to do to really allow this to change your life. I want you to lay apart. I want you to put off or lay aside or put away. Matter of fact, the word is used in other texts of Scripture in Romans 13:12, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Same word. Ephesians 4:22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is a corrupt according to deceitful lust. In fact, that text of Scripture talks about put off, renew, put on. That process. James is very much talking about that. Lay it aside. Get rid of it. Put off all these in Colossians. Paul says anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. In Hebrews 12 and verse 1, the word is used. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. So James is telling his people here, hey, listen, because of all that we've already talked about, I want you to put this off. I want you to lay aside. And what is it that we're to lay aside? Well, he gives us a couple things. First, he says, I want you to lay aside filthiness. That which is defiling. That which is growing filthy in your life. Matter of fact, the Greek word was used of dirty clothes. To take off the dirty clothes and put on that which is clean. I grew up in South Florida. I said this morning, one of the things about South Florida is the dirt in South Florida is so rich that it actually will burn. It's called muck fires. The dirt will burn. But it is fun to play in. As a boy, man, I would be covered head to toe in dirt. And I would come inside, and guess what my mother wanted to do? She did not want me in the house until I cleaned up. Now, I had this idea that I could get clean, but then I could put on the same clothes. For some reason, Mama didn't think the same way that I did. By the way, she won. And so I put on new clothes. That's the idea. I'm taking off this old. I'm going to put on the new. Take off this. It comes from a word which is used also medically for the wax in the ears. Now, James has just talked about us being swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. So it's possible that James is kind of using a double meaning of this word here to tell the people, hey, get the wax out of your ears and put off the sin of your life. The condition. But he also talks about superfluity of naughtiness. Now, that's a fancy word. It means a superabundance of depravity and wickedness. It's the wickedness that's not ashamed to break laws. It's not something that they're sneaking around to do. They're doing it right out in the open. And it's left over from our conversion, if you will. This is important that we understand, and we'll talk about this in a minute. When God saved us, positionally, we're as saved as we're ever going to be. But practically, we got a lot of work to do, right? I mean, we're constantly having to lay aside those sin that we have in our life. And that's what he's talking about here. When God saved us, he cleansed us from sin. Positionally, we're saved. But we still have to deal with that sin practically on a day-by-day basis. So the question is, are you putting off sin in your life? Are you laying it aside? Are you dealing with it? So we see the condition. But let's look, number two, at the command. And then he says this, wherefore, lay apart all superfluity of all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness. The word receive is a command. Receive, to give ear to embrace it. Literally, to make it one's own. He says, so I want you to make one's own the Word of God. And I want you to do it with a mildness of disposition, a humility. It takes some humility for us to say, you know what? This was wrong in my life, and I need to change that. It takes some humility for these kids to stand up and say, you know what? I wasn't living right. By the way, dads, you ought to be doing that in your devotions at home. You ought to be sitting down with your family and say, hey, guys, can I tell you something? Boy, God just worked on me this morning in my devotions. And last night, I was pretty sharp with you kids and really with Mom, too. And before I go to work today, I want you to forgive me. That's humility. Allowing the Word of God to change you like you hope it'll change your kids. Receive with meekness the engrafted Word, the Word that's been implanted in you. The Lord sows His truth in our hearts, Dr. Hester says. It very well could be. Remember we talked this morning about James being distinctly Jewish. James may very well have had in mind Jeremiah 31:31 and following when it says, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God and they shall be my people. So do you allow the Word of God to grow in your life? I need to change you, really change you. How do you approach your Bible reading, your Sunday school class, a message that you hear? How do you approach it? Do you approach it with saying, God, I need something today. God, I want you to change me today. Number three, let's look at the capability. The capability. What is it able to do? Notice the word able. He said, which is able to save your souls. The Word of God is as powerful as we will ever need. It has the transforming power. It can take a drunkard and transform him to a man of God. I mean, we could go on and on. It's a wonderful transforming power. I wish I had time tonight to tell you my dad's story. Now, just briefly, I mentioned this morning that my grandfather was a very, very wicked man. I could tell you story after story about that. But because a missionary, I don't know where the girl is that was sad about Africa, but for some reason this missionary couldn't go back to Africa years ago. And so what she did was she decided to go in what was called a shanty town, poor kids, and start teaching kids Bible in this little poor plywood shack shanty town in South Florida. And my daddy was one of the kids in that camp. God saved his soul. Man, that is thrilling. The difference, the power, it's able to change us. John 15:3 says, "Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." It has the ability to go exactly what you want, exactly what you need. I've had people walk out after a Sunday morning message, or, and I'm sure your pastor has, and Pastor Defoe, they walk out and say, "Pastor, boy, when you said such and such, God just smote me." And I'm thinking, I don't remember saying that. That's because the Spirit of God took the Word of God and nailed you right where you needed it. I mean, it's like, boom, right there. And you're like, oh, yeah. Praise the Lord for the power of the Word of God. If you're not changing today, folks, it's not the Word of God's fault. The Word of God has everything we need. Number four, and I'm trying to move quickly tonight, the conforming. The conforming. Look at verse 22. But, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now, in this text of Scripture, James gives us two options. You can either be a doer or you can be a deceiver. That's your two options. And he says, okay, as you receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul, you are to listen to it, you are to let it transform your life. But if you genuinely let it transform your life, it's going to result in you doing. That's what he's talking about here. He says, I want you to become doers of the word. I want you to become, now listen to this word, a performer, one who obeys and fulfills the law. We typically think of a performer as someone who's acting. That's not what the idea here is. It's to perform that which God tells us. In other words, I hear what God says, and as soon as I hear it, I immediately obey. That's what God wants to do. He wants to transform us. The idea behind it is to keep on becoming doers. It's an ongoing effect. One author says you have not really listened to the word if you've not obeyed the word. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. Don't just listen and walk out unchanged. Now, tonight, if my son was here, my son is 20 years old. Finished his sophomore year. Matter of fact, he's at camp this summer, and God's just transforming campers in his cabin. It's just been every week we're waiting. I'm like, it can't be as good as last week. And then he calls. You know, last night, my wife said, "We got just a few minutes. It's way after 10 o'clock. So he starts talking about the guys transformed in his cabin. You know, 50 minutes later, it's like, well, I'll try to keep this short. We're like, really? You know, but praise the Lord for the work that's taking place here. You got to be doers. Now, let's say if I said to my son, "Son, I want you to take out the trash." And he said, "Okay." And sat there. If he just sat there, after just a few minutes, what would I say to him? I would say something like this: "Son, did you hear me?" And he would say, "Yeah, I heard you." Okay. My indication is that if you heard me, you ought to do what? You ought to obey. You ought to get up and take out. If you heard me, you ought to be moving. You know, otherwise, I assume that you didn't hear me. The same is true with God's Word. Did you hear the preaching of the Word of God? "Oh, I heard you, Lord." You going to do anything about it? Because if you're not a doer, then the hearing really did you no good. That's James' point here. He said, look, you've got to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer. I love how one author said it this way. The idea of hearers only is they are just auditing a college class. They're just auditing it. An old Scottish expression is sermon tasters who have never tasted the grace of God. Another called them sermon sippers. Sermon sippers. Are you obedient to the word? Are you making excuses why you cannot obey? Your two options is a doer, but number two, the option is a deceiver. The word gives the idea of to miscount or to reckon wrong. In other words, your reason in your mind that you're okay even though you're not doing. And it's you're deceiving yourself. The deception referred to is therefore that into which one betrays himself by false reasoning, Vincent says. The deception comes from thinking that they have done all that is necessary when actually listening to the word is the only beginning. It's only the beginning. James says you are blind to your true spiritual condition if you claim to have heard and received and accepted this word, yet you fail to act on it. Those who consistently disobey God's word give evidence that they are without His life within them. Those who consistently obey the word give evidence of the life in their souls. In other words, if you're genuinely transformed, you're going to be a doer. Don't deceive yourself. Is there evidence by your obedience to God's word that you genuinely are in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Sometimes I ask people, can you give me proof since your salvation that you're saved? And I don't mean quote a Bible verse. That's good. I'm not saying it's not. What can you point to specifically and say, that is happening and that's proof that my life has been transformed? Examine yourself. But then number five, he gives a clarification for us. Verse 23 and 24. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. That's a mirror. He's looking in a mirror. And he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was or he is. He walks away thinking, okay, I'm fine. If you're just a hearer and you're not a doer, it's just like you stand before the mirror in the morning and there's all kinds of things wrong. Hair's disheveled. Maybe you got supper left over in your teeth or what. I mean, I don't know what all. You know, whatever's wrong there. You're looking, it's like, wow, this is a mess, you know. And you walk away from the mirror and you totally, it's not like, oh, man, I forgot what was going on here. No. It's that the forgetteth here is the idea of he no longer cares. So he looks into the mirror and goes, whatever, goes on about his way. And everybody else is going, you okay this morning? Because your hair is a mess, you know. Did you actually do anything this morning with that stuff? You know, he doesn't care. He immediately forgets what it was like to look into it. He glanced at himself and off he's gone. It's like a lifelike picture of the careless listener to preaching. So you come to the Word of God and you listen to it and you walk away going, okay. Oh, that's wrong with my life, but oh well. And I tell you, sometimes, folks, it's just as obvious to other people around you that you're not obedient as it is that your hair hasn't been touched in the morning. One author said, perhaps we have been reading the Bible to fulfill a legalistic desire to appear devout, as though the mere reading of the words carries with it some sacramental value or merit. Instead, the mind must be engaged fully with a desire on our part to be more fully conformed to the image of Christ. As I sat and listened to the teenagers' testimonies tonight, God laid these messages on my heart weeks ago. It's amazing. Some of this stuff is just a follow-up to camp. How precious our Lord is. Again, how do you approach the Word of God? Do you sit down with anticipation? God, what do you want changed in my life this morning? We see, number six, the contrast. Look at verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I want to look at a couple of things under this. Number one, the looking. The word looketh here is a word that means to stoop to a thing in order to look at it. It's to look with the head bowed forward. To look with the body bent. So in other words, this is an intensity. It would be like someone on their knees investigating something very, very closely. It's a bowing over. It's a careful examination. In other words, it's not just passing by and giving it a glance. He uses this word. Matter of fact, the word is used a number of times in the Word of God. One of the most specific ways is in reference to the resurrection. In Luke 24 and John chapter 20, twice, it talks about this word as the disciples come to the tomb and they stoop and look in. Do you think the disciples were just casually looking the morning of the resurrection? No. They wanted to know what's going on there. You mean He's not there? You mean He's risen? This was an intent. Look, this is the idea here. John Bunyan in Pilgrim's Progress talks about a mirror. I quote, "Now the glass was one of a thousand. It would present a man one way with his own features exactly, and turn it but another way, and it would show one the very face and similitude of the Prince of Pilgrims himself. Yeah, I've talked with those that can tell and have said they have seen the very crown of thorns upon his head by looking into this glass. They have therein also seen the holes in his hands, at his feet, and his side. The man who continues looking into the mirror of God's Word sees in it things far more wonderful than his own face. He sees not only his filthy garments, not only the spots and stains on his life. He sees in it Christ, the Christ of the thorn-crowned brow, the Christ of the cross, his Savior, whose blood cleanses from all sins." My dear friend, what do you see when you stoop to look at the Word of God? Are you looking at the Word stooped over with your head bent? Or is it just a casual look? Is it just a verse a day to keep the devil away? Idea, are we really intently looking and listening? But he not only talks about looking here, but he talks about the perfect law of liberty. And remember, James is writing to a Jewish audience. They were bound by the law all these years. They're no longer bound by the law. Praise the Lord for that. But this is really important. This liberty is a liberty to do what is right. It's a liberty to do as we should, not as we please. It's not a license to do what we want, but the divine help to do what we ought to do. Now, this is really important. In our world today, we've got movement after movement after movement out there saying, "Hey, look, we no longer live under the law. We live under grace." And what that means to them is, "I can live ever how I want to. Don't judge my liberty in Christ." Listen, friends, liberty means I have the freedom to do what's right, not to do what's wrong. That's really important when we look at the Word of God. In other words, before I was bound by a sin nature that wouldn't let me choose right. Now Christ has freed me, and so I no longer have to obey my sin nature. I have the freedom to choose right. Praise the Lord for that. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 9 says, "But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak." Galatians 5 and verse 1, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Galatians 5 and verse 13, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." 1 Peter 2 and verse 16, "As free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness." That word maliciousness is the same word for naughtiness in James chapter 1 and verse 21. 2 Peter 2 and verse 19, "While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption." The liberty. The Word of God has freed us to make right choices. It's a liberating book. Not to do as you please, but to do as you ought. Are you doing that which you should? And then he says, number three, the lingering. He continueth therein. The word continueth means to remain or continue always near. To be right there. To want to spend time. Marked by a work that God has done in my life. God did not reveal His Word simply to be learned, but He revealed it to be obeyed and to be applied. Do you long to just continue in the Word? It's just to be there. My wife and I have four kids. Three girls are married. Our son is not married. We have a daughter that lives in Virginia. We have a daughter that lives in Texas and a daughter that lives in northern Wisconsin. And we don't get to see them much anymore. We just left our daughter that lives in Wisconsin. We spent a few days with her, and man, it was sweet, you know. And the truth is, when you're with them, you just like to linger. You like to continue there. It's never long enough. Have you ever figured that out? I mean, it's never long enough, you know. Matter of fact, we had a conflict this week because we had this trip planned for over a year. And my other daughter, with two of our grandbabies from Texas, which we really don't get to see a lot, she's actually in North Carolina right now. You better be glad I'm a man of my word, Pastor. I wouldn't have been here today, I'm just telling you, you know. How I long to spend time with my girls. Man, and my grandma, that's what God wants for us. He wants to long to spend time there. This person doesn't just read and walk away, but he allows the truth of God's Word to soak into him every day. Do you allow God's Word to soak into you every day? A number of years ago, it's been quite a few years ago now, I began to journal in my devotions. It transformed my devotional life. Matter of fact, young people that just got back from camp, if you're not journaling your daily time in God's Word, I want to highly recommend that to you. It holds you accountable, along with other things. It keeps you to focus on what does God want to teach me here today. And then quickly, and I'm done, the last part, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If you survey people around the country, no matter what you say to them, what are five things you'd want more than anything? Every list you could find just about would have somewhere on that list, I just want to be happy. Can I tell you what the word blessed in this passage of Scripture means? Happy. That's what it means. Dr. Alford says, the life of obedience is the element wherein the blessedness is found and consists. In other words, if you want to be happy, obey God. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Now, I didn't say it was always going to be easy. But I want to tell you, you want to be happy, obey God. Obey God. I could give you again example of people who chose to do things their own way. They're not happy. The way of the transgressor is hard. When you're obeying God, true happiness is found therein. Men are not naturally inclined to look at themselves honestly, to perform a self-evaluation in the bright and perfect light of God's Word. That's not our natural inclination, but we need to be. Do you receive the Word? Do you obey the Word? How will you respond today to the Word of God? What action steps, if you will, are you putting into place of what you learned today in the Word of God? That's obedience. God, this is what you told me to do. This is how I'm going to respond to it. The story is told of a young pastor. His very first funeral was that of a little girl, 3 years old. Her parents thought it was cute that she consistently disobeyed them. They laughed it off. It's cute. Anytime we tell her to stop, she runs and so forth and so on. Until one day they wanted her to stop from running out in front of a car. I'm not trying to jerk your emotional chain tonight. What I'm trying to say is, we have to be obedient to God's Word. And anytime you tell God no, it becomes easier next time to tell Him no. And it becomes easier the next time you tell Him no. And those of you that have knocked on any number of doors over the years, you've found people similar to this. I used to teach Sunday school in a church. I was a deacon one time. What happened? They stopped obeying. They stopped obeying the little promptings when God said, hey, are you just going to be a hearer? Are you going to be a doer as well? Make a difference in your family's life. Make a difference in your life.